ever since I was a kid, I was very, very sure of everything I wanted to do. And I wouldn't take no for an answer. That's just who I am. And that might strike like a very bad thing for a lot of people back in my country, but it helped me a lot to get to the point where I am in my life, because I always was sure where I want to go. Secondly, I did see every woman living near me, that what was their life like, and I never wanted to be like that. Just never wanted to be. So I knew head on straight where I should go in order to move away from that kind of lifestyle. And the other part of my strength came from my husband, because he is like me. And we both know what we want. And we just don't like letting people tell us bullshit. So that is why we are a very strong couple. We're a very strong couple. And we know where we are headed.
Welcome to We Are Child Free, a podcast that celebrates child-free lives. I'm your host, Zoe, and each episode I'll speak with another incredible guest about their decision not to have children and what it's meant for their life. Today I'm speaking to Mohita Solanki, who is a total badass. She was born in India, the second most populous country in the world, where pronatalism is everywhere. Her parents hoped their daughters would have children one day, but also insisted they get an education. And it's this education that Mohita credits with opening her eyes to different options and other ways of living. At college, Mohita met her now husband, and it was actually him who put the child-free choice on the table, concerned that the couple would never truly be equal if he couldn't share responsibility for bearing and birthing kids. What a good feminist. Determined to live the life they wanted, this dream team left India for Melbourne, Australia, where Mohita works as a data analyst and runs a meetup group for 80 child-free women. We had a super eye-opening chat about Mohita's home culture, how patriarchy is all around us, in every country, even in our heads, and her hopes for the next generation. Enjoy my conversation with Mohita Solanki.
Actually, I wasn't the first one to decide not that we are not going to have kids. It came directly from my husband. After we got married, he mentioned that he doesn't want children. And at first, I was like, what? Really? But I wasn't too defensive against the idea as well, because I never thought about it. Like, not going in that direction and not going in against the direction. I just never gave it a thought. So I was into it in a couple of months. So initially I did ask, like, are you sure about this? Are we sure about this? But that wasn't too long, because I was very, very much interested in the idea of living our life, you know, for ourselves, not for anyone else. And everyone knows, like, we are just humans, not here for a long, long time. So made sense to live for ourselves first.
And yes, definitely.
Yes. So I actually liked it, but it came from him, yes. So he was the first one. Lucky enough to have a husband who doesn't want children.
So then you had always thought you would have children, or had it just been something, a topic that you hadn't really been thinking of?
Yeah. Okay. I never thought about it. But one thing I was sure about was that I was never into children. I never wanted to spend more time with any other kid. And I was just not interested, or wasn't that maternal at any stage in my life. I still am not.
And so tell me a little bit about your childhood then. Where are you from?
I'm from India.
Okay.
So coming from India.
A lot of humans.
I laughed because we are like the same. I know so many people there already. And it bugs me that, you know, I come from that country, because it's the second most populous country. And people are just not stopping. They don't want to stop. Mm. And people like me scare them. They feel something is definitely wrong with me. Why else won't I want children? So it's just something that, you know, you do. It's not something you think about. You just do. That's what you're here for. So that's the common idea in my country. It's like you don't think about it. It's more of a question of when you do it. It's not a question if you do it.
Really? That's interesting. I mean, what is it like to grow up in a country that must feel quite oppressive as a woman there?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, coming from my country, I knew always that, you know, I have to have two eyes at the back of my head just to make sure that I'm safe. Yeah. And I had to fight a bit hard than men as well, because you have to prove yourself at every point. But I was fortunate enough to have parents who treated both boys and girls the same. So there was never any distinction between mommy and my brother. So they gave all the four of us like prime education. So that was like a very fortunate thing for me to have had. And and a bit of my, I do think that I was a bit intelligent as well and had good grades since the start. So it helped me climb up the ladder there as well. But things for women are still very different there as compared to, you know, males. Something that you have to fight every day of your life, definitely. So even like if I don't want to have children, so I know that my husband and I, we both decided. But the question will always come to me rather than go to him.
Hmm. Yes, I experienced that as well.
Yeah.
I think it's pressure that women, we get the most questions and the most comments.
Yeah, don't know why. I just don't know why.
So how big was your family?
So I come from a family. We are four siblings. So I have two elder sisters and a younger brother.
So how have they taken to your decision not to have children?
Well, to be honest, my father never said anything about it, but my mom still has hope. And so every time I call her, like once in three times, I would say, she does bring that topic up. But now I feel recently there was a conversation where I felt like she understands me now. And that was a good one. Because recently I kind of started a child-free women group here in Melbourne, and it has like 80 members in it. So I was just, and I organized an event there. Yeah, just drinks and catch up. So I just told her when I came back from the event that I did that. So she was like kind of proud. I could tell. She's like, oh, good that there are more people who think like you. And she actually smiled at that. So that was something that told me that she is into the idea, not that much opposed to it now. Maybe she gets it, like who I am and what I want.
That's awesome. I think, yeah, maybe some parents are just so worried about their, you know, there's this kind of idea that you'll be alone. If you're child-free, you're going to be alone and there's not going to be anyone there. And I think, you know, there's no guarantees in life. If
No.
you have kids, you can also be alone. So
Absolutely.
I think it's maybe your mum is kind of seeing that you can have a community of people. You can have a fulfilling life. And that's all she maybe wants for you. And because it's so alien to a lot of people, this way of living, they just don't realize that you can have an incredible life if you want to. Just like if you have kids, you make your own life, you know.
Absolutely. And having kids is no guarantee. Yeah. Having kids is no guarantee that you won't end up in an old age home. Everyone knows that. Yeah. So you should go and ask people. You have to go and ask those people who have kids and they are still in an old age home. What's that about? Like, there's no guarantee.
No. So then tell me more about the meetup then. So, you know, how was it? How 80 people is incredible.
Oh, that was great. I mean, not 80 people showed up. 80 people are there in that group. But it's an app that connects neighbors. So I just started. I wanted to join a group, but there was none. So I started my own. And I could hear, I have people from like women from all age groups. And even someone in like 70s as well. And
wow.
They thanked me. They thanked me for starting this group. They thanked me for acknowledging that we needed a separate community.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that felt very good personally as well, because I wanted to I wanted to have a platform where women can openly discuss this lifestyle choice.
I mean, we are lacking those, aren't we? You know, we don't have anything like this. And this is one thing that I'm realizing with the messages that I'm getting. It's about community. And it makes sense because as child-free people, you know, if we are the minority, we are lacking in those relationships where we have, you know, like-minded people. It, you know, when your friends start having kids, they go on a different journey, a different path. And we need to be able to connect with others who are making this decision, because our lives are going to be more similar to each other. And obviously it doesn't mean you don't have your friends who have had kids. Keep those relationships, but it's so enriching to meet other people who maybe think a little bit more like you, or just have the same things in common, right?
Absolutely. You need that. You very much need that.
So then what about your siblings? How do they take the decision for you not to have kids?
Well,
do they have children?
yes, two of them. Okay. Like my sisters, both of them have kids, and my younger brother is still not married, but he will have them for sure. So that's a very strong case I make in front of my mother, that all three of your kids are having kids, so just leave me alone.
That's it. The pressure should be off.
It's not like you're not a grandma. You got it.
That's it. So it's interesting that the pressure, you know, when your siblings have kids, you're like, okay, phew, sigh of relief. Just leave me alone. You got your grandkids.
But my sisters were opposed to the idea. Absolutely. They were opposed to the idea at the beginning. But then they saw how I live and, you know, what I'm able to do with my time, my energy, my money, anything. And so now they say they have like accepted this idea that if they didn't have kids, they wouldn't be missing them because there was nobody to miss. Yeah. Now they have them. So absolutely, that's a different timeline for them. So they have to take care of them. They have to love them. Right. But she accepted that, one of them, that, I understand. If you want to go in that direction, it's your choice. It's your life. And you're absolutely entitled to make that decision.
So then where do you think, you know, it's always interesting to me how when I'm talking to different child-free women, you know, the reasons and when they decided it. And, you know, for myself, I just always kind of knew, and so many child-free women, they just always knew, right? And, you know, when they have siblings and like they go the opposite direction. I have a twin sister and she, you know, really, really wanted children. So it's super interesting that, you know, we can be brought up exactly the same, but we have these, you know, we have completely different, we're different people. There is no one woman on this earth that we all should be, you know, exactly the same. We're all different, but society does tend to paint us as the same. We're the same, you know, we all should be mothers. We all should want to be mothers.
Well, that's a very patriarchal thing. That's a very patriarchal thing. Mm. Like all of this is to keep some things in check. And women is in the top of that list.
In a country like India, obviously the pressure for women is pretty intense to, you know, be a good wife and have children. And, you know, I'm assuming it's very traditional that the gender roles, men and women, they have their roles set.
Yes.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
How is it then for your mum and dad? You know, how is it for your mother? Was she happy as a mother, you think?
I think that she is a brilliant woman. And was she given a choice to do something else with her life, she would have done wonders. And I it's safe to say that she does regret a couple of decisions around having children. But as a mother, you can't always say it out loud. And but you do feel that, your entire life, your entire time just went in raising kids, could have done something else. And also being a mom is not a very, like, it's not a job that gets a lot of acknowledgement or appreciation. And that does eat you up. And it's true for every woman who is a mother. So I do feel that she felt at some point that, you know, she could have taken a break, or it's getting overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, having one child already looks intense. It looks like a lot of work.
Oh, it's a lot of work.
You know, anyone who has multiple children, I don't know. I don't even understand how people do it. It looks so so much hard work. And you're right. It's kind of like a thankless task. The way we treat mothers in general is actually really appalling. It's kind of, you know, they're not really seen. It's not really seen as a job either. It's just the thing that women do. And they just have to get on with it.
Yeah, it's put upon us. And recently, something that also appalls me around the inequality, even in households, is that even when a man retires and he wouldn't want to contribute in the household chores, right? But a woman never retires. She will still be expected to do everything. I don't know until what age. So that kind of frustrates me.
Very much. Yeah. That's the thing. We are the caregivers, the household, you know, the cleaners,
yeah,
the,
absolutely.
And, you know, I see this a lot in even in more Western countries. I see it in the friendships that I have. I see it in young people. The roles
it's
are
everywhere.
Still the same.
It's everywhere.
It is frustrating. I'm like lucky that I've got one of the good ones. Like my husband, he does more housework than me, right?
Me too.
So we are, and it's interesting. It's like, yeah, once you break those gender roles and you say, actually, let's work out who is better at these things, who likes doing these things, and what makes more sense. What am I? You know, start thinking more like that rather than men do this, women do this. You get much happier relationships. And I see this with friends, and they have relationships where they are doing the majority of the household work, the childcare, and they're not happy. And I wouldn't be happy either.
Why would anyone be happy doing everything? I mean,
yeah,
it's draining. You're left with no energy at the end of the day, no time for yourself. Mm. And when someone can actually take that load off you, but no one is doing that. So why would the woman be happy? And I don't understand if like, why aren't those men, their husbands, their partners, why are they not able to see that someone in the house is like overloaded with work and they could use some help? I just hate to use the word help even, because you should be contributing to everything in the house.
Yeah, it's like a mutual respect, isn't it? It's like,
absolutely.
I wouldn't dream of letting someone who I supposedly love take on, you know, so much extra work just because of their, you know, genitals, basically. If we boil it down to it, it's like, okay, because
it's
a woman,
that
that's it. You're so it is. It's about respect. I mean, so you've got to tell me then, where did you meet your husband? How did you meet? Tell me about him.
In college.
Okay.
Your college buddies.
So where was the... Okay, that's even more adorable, Mohita. So this was back in India.
Yes, that was back in India. So we know each other since 2006. So we started college in 2006 together. And we started a relationship in 2010 after we graduated. So nothing happened in college. But yeah, after we graduated, we kind of started realizing we missed each other. And that's how it started. Got married 5 years later. Been married for 5 years now. He's an absolutely amazing man.
Well, he sounds it. He sounds it, you know? Because I mean, any guy who really, they understand that it shouldn't be down to a woman to, you know, stick in their supposed lane, clean the house and just do what you're meant to do. Any man who goes against that, I just, you know, I wish there were more of them out there. And I think, yeah, we're both very lucky that we have these partners who,
yes,
understand that it should be equal. We have to have equality. That's what we're fighting for. And you know, he sounds awesome.
And I must tell you, the reason that he didn't want children in the first place was not that he disliked children. He just said that I love you so much that I don't want you to go through that thing ever. Because I know as a man, I won't be able to contribute 50%, because when you go through the childbirth process, you're already doing a lot and I can't compensate for it ever.
Wow.
And he said that I don't trust men. They do change after kids, and I just don't want that to happen to you. That was the reason that why he decided to go child free.
Okay, he's incredible, Mohita. Well, you are, I know. You are incredible. So you both are perfect together. But that is such an incredible statement for him to say, you know, for him yes. to even think like that is incredible. And I'm intrigued about, I mean, his family, you know, what are his family like with this decision then? Are they understanding or not?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Not at all. I mean, his siblings are fine, but not the parents, not the grandparents. They are not very much into the idea. The grandmother is sad every single day when she calls us. She's like, when are you going to have the kid? And we...
Every day.
Oh, yeah. But it breaks my heart to break her heart.
Yeah.
Because I can't expect... someone, you know, who's 80 plus to understand this particular mm-hmm. way of living, because it's alien to them. I understand that. But
yeah,
it's just something that we decided. And it's a lot to do for someone else, not for us.
Exactly. This is your life. You know, yeah. you have to be happy and yes. live your life, not for anyone else, because yeah. they may be happy, but you certainly wouldn't be.
No, I wouldn't be. And then who will I blame? And yeah. if I blame the other person who I was trying to make happy in the first place, then our relationship anyways, you know, will not be good. So there's no point.
No, exactly.
At least not such a big decision.
No, I mean, that's it. This is one thing that I'm not sure it's possible to compromise. Not for a woman anyway. I mean, this
is
the most... you know, the biggest decision that you'll ever make. And yes, maybe men, you know, because they aren't the main caregivers, because they're not pregnant, maybe they can compromise. Maybe they never wanted kids, but you know, when they have a child, it changes. But that's, I think, possible for them because they aren't the person who it's really affecting as much, you know,
And they're like, why men have children? There are different reasons than why women have children. Mm-hmm. Why men have children is because at some point it feels like when they have a kid, they feel like now they are the head of this family. And now society can't tell me shit, right? I will do things my way. Society will respect me now more. And it's true. It's true. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It happens. So they're proud. Yeah, they walk proud as a daddy. And although they might not be contributing to being a daddy much later on, but something that adds a star to their shoulder.
Mm, yes, you're totally right. And, you know, what we need to happen is for society to see that we're not all the same woman as well. Yes, some women desperately want children and they love that role, but there are many, many, many others like you, like I, that do not want that. We have no desire for that. And we need society to stop putting that pressure and making those assumptions about us. It's just not right.
Yeah, it's not right. And, you know, one thing that I recently experienced was someone trying to force me into having a kid. You know, it's great. Someone who has two kids. I know the story, like if you have 10-12 year old, then you are definitely busy and you're not being the happiest person on the planet. Yes. But they would definitely want to force you, no, it's great, you should absolutely do it, and blah blah. So it just makes me realize, it made me realize that maybe they are trying to tell themselves that they made the right decision by forcing me to do that. So if I do it, it will be a confirmation that fine, I did the right thing too. It's not something that they know. It's not something that they feel was the right thing to do for themselves. But if I convince one other person to go in the same direction, then maybe I was right. Or at least both of us are suffering now.
Yeah, I think it's like a natural thing that you want people to join your gang. You
yeah,
want people
it's a gang
be
thing.
Part of your gang. And I mean, yeah, it is. It's frustrating when people kind of, they have their life choice and they try and say that this is going to work for you. This is right for you.
Yeah,
and
how
you know,
do you
this
know
is irresponsible.
Yeah, how do you know yeah. it will? Do you know me? Do you know what I do 24/7? Like, right. No. How can you tell me I'm born to be a mom? I don't even know if I can like wake up at 6 when I want to. How are you telling me that I can be a good mom? And not a mom. It's not about being a mom. First of all, you have to be a mom and then you should be a good mom. That's another pressure. Mm. Like you can't be a bad mom, right?
Mm.
That's not allowed.
No. Women are not, they're not meant
allowed.
To be anything other than perfect. Being a mother, you have to be perfect.
Yeah, in every role. Like you got to keep the man happy everywhere. Every step of your life, whoever is the man you are like reporting to. So it's not just about being a mom. It's not. Society's expectations from women never end. Even when you are a grandmom, like even if you are at that age, yeah, you have kids.
Yeah.
And they will keep asking the grandmother, like, when are you going to have grandkids? Like, so even if it doesn't end for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if people ask men at that age, when are you going to be granddad? But I'm very much sure it happens to women. And that is what might be happening to my husband's grandmother as well, that she is so worried every single day.
So then, you know, where do you think... Where does your strength come from? Because, you know, to grow up in a country like India, where the pressure is so immense, you know, to really know who you were and what you wanted, like, was it that you saw what maybe was happening with women there and you thought, I don't want that? You know, is this something you just think you were born with?
Yes. So two things. Ever since I was a kid, I was very, very sure of everything I wanted to do. And I wouldn't take no for an answer. That's just who I am. And that might strike like a very bad thing for a lot of people back in my country, but it helped me a lot to get to the point where I am in my life, because I always was sure where I want to go. Secondly, I did see every woman living near me, that what was their life like, and I never wanted to be like that. Just never wanted to be. So I knew head on straight where I should go in order to move away from that kind of lifestyle. And the other part of my strength came from my husband, because he is like me. And we both know what we want. And we just don't like letting people tell us bullshit. So that is why we are a very strong couple. We're a very strong couple. And we know where we are headed.
Yeah, you're the dream team, the dream team.
Yeah, the dream team.
I love it. And you, I mean, you moved from India to Melbourne, Australia,
yes.
right? So
yes,
you have to tell me then, what was the catalyst for that?
Well, catalyst was that I never felt like, we both never felt like we belonged to the country, because we both are atheists. We don't believe in God. We are not very religious as well, of course, being an atheist. So we don't like the way people like to control people in my country. Everyone is controlling everyone. So parents try to control kids. Siblings try to control you. And society, of course, who you know, one person you met like 15 years ago, they would want to pitch in their decision in your life. So that's something that just didn't sit well with us. And it wasn't safe. Growth opportunities were not there. And we were child-free people, so everyone saw us as a risk, you know. They're trying to tell people not to go in the direction they're supposed to. A lot of things. So, yeah, that's why we moved. Now here I feel Melbourne, like, it's my country, my people. I do feel that way. And I've been here for only 3 years. But at least no one here judges anyone, like back in my country. Something we both needed.
Yeah, it must be such a relief to be somewhere where you don't have that intense pressure. I felt it, you know, a little bit here, but I'm living in Germany now, but I can't really fathom the pressure that you would be under in a country like India, and young girls must be under as well. I mean, if they don't want to have children, it's going to take a lot for them to be able to say that out loud and tell their families this. And I mean, you did it, and you had, I'm so happy that there are women like you who were able to escape that pressure. But it makes you realize that there must be so many women who are, and young girls who are just, you know, stuck in a country that treats them like they're a second class citizen.
Yeah. I hope I can inspire a couple of girls in my life to go in that direction. I hope I can. And one of the reasons I want to succeed in a lot of areas is because of that. So someone can look up to me and say, fine, she did well, so can I. I don't need a kid to tell me, you know, that I am complete in quotes. But and one more thing, I do feel like the credit goes to my parents as well, because they put so much effort in my education that I was able to make those decisions, and actually I'm standing on my own feet, which is a big deal for someone back in my country as well. Because my parents had 3 daughters and a son. They could have given us a mediocre education if they wanted to, like everyone else, like close to them was doing. But they gave us first-class education, and they always had faith in us to go. My mom, especially, she made sure that all the girls were having the best education possible, so that they won't go in the direction that she went.
Education is power, isn't it? You know, especially for women. Yeah.
Yeah. If I weren't working, if I wasn't like had a proper degree or not doing a job, then I wouldn't have been able to make such decisions, such bold decisions in life.
Absolutely. You know, if you can educate young girls and tell them that they have a choice, then they can think, what is going to be right for me? Do I have, you know, is my passion with being a mother, or is it with something else? And, you know, that's what we just need to empower young girls and women to know, that they have a choice and that they can make a decision on this. And we need, obviously, countries to let women make this choice. That's the problem that we have with so many countries putting this pressure on women, that they don't have a choice, that it's their duty. And this is so wrong.
And it's their duty to not just have children. In most countries, it's their duty to produce more men, not just girls as well. Yeah, produce more men, more men. What is that about? And in this creation of this army of men, so many women's lives are just, you know, getting this. They just disappear. You don't count them as lives lost, but when their lives lost, when you tell a girl to be a mom at the age of 20. She doesn't even know who she is.
Yeah.
And before she knows it, she is a mother. That's all she is now. So they never even find themselves.
That's it. I mean, at that young age, you know, we don't know who we are. Gosh, when I think back to when I was 20, I had no idea who I was.
Exactly.
And you know, if add on to that pressure from family or friends or your culture, you know, that is a recipe for people making decisions that are not the best decisions for them or their lives.
I don't think anyone is having their best interest for women at any point in time. Who is looking to women and telling them, you know, this isn't good for you, or this is good for you? No one is doing that, at least not 95% of the population in my country. No one is doing that. So you got to look out for your own best interests. You got to make decisions that are good for you. It shouldn't come from anyone else. If you keep on waiting for anyone else, they will make the decisions that are good for them, not for you. And you will just get caught in the cycle.
So then what about the younger generations, Mohita, in India? You know, your nieces, how do they feel? Do you know how they feel about having kids? Or is it kind of they're indoctrinated into this, you know, this is their path? Is it really going to be still difficult for younger generations to break out of this cycle?
Yes, it will be difficult still. I think it will take at least two more generations before this starts to change in my country, because even my generation doesn't understand that back in my country. So my friends, nobody gets it. They are like, they will complain to me that they are just having the worst of days with their body changing, with the, you know, not able to sleep and everything. But when you tell them, I don't want children, the next sentence that comes is, oh, come on, you got to do it. It's a wonderful experience. Really? Should I just tell you should I show you the history of the child we have? What happened there? So when my generation doesn't understand that, how can I expect the next generation to? It has to be at least a considerable number of women in my generation to be able to make some impact on the next.
Yeah, it's going to take time, isn't it?
It's going to take time.
It's a slow process. Even looking at gender equality, that's a ridiculously slow process. We still haven't got it. And we're talking about 2021. We are still not being paid the same as men. We still don't have the same opportunities. We're still expected to clean the house. And, you know, it's so much
expectations.
Yeah.
It doesn't end. Just doesn't end. Everywhere doesn't end. It's everywhere. It's in big things. It's in tiny things. It's in everyone's head. Sometimes even in our own head, we don't even realize, but it's so ingrained in us that we might be, you know, contributing to it in some way or the other. We might not realize it, although we are all trying to do this right thing most of the times. But it's just, it's the way we have been taught. We have seen things, and we are who we see, experience, you know, or do. So we are from our experiences. So if we don't meet people who think differently, then how are we supposed to change? Only few of us change on our own. Most people look at someone and then they change.
That's why I think, you know, this project is important, because we just need to see more representation of other options for women. It's not about saying that this is what, you know, all women have to not have children. That's not it at all. It's about make a decision that is coming from you, thinking about what you want and what is it, what's right for you. And instead of just, oh, this is the way we do it, we just, you know, this is, we're not even going to question it. And I want, that's it. I want people to question everything, because, you know, society will tell women that we should just be doing this. There's no question about it.
Society will tell women things that is good for society.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly.
And what's good for you? You got to ask that question. What's good for you? What's good for me? And women force women to go down the wrong path. Women force women. It's not just men doing that. Why do you think my mom keeps on telling me? Because it's in her head. Oh, she is supposed to do that. That's the hold of patriarchy in our society, in our brains.
I mean, that's the thing. When women are shocked by my decision, and they'll, you know, give me a weird comment or questioning about why I'm making this decision, I'm just thinking, like, I thought we should all be supporting each other. You know, we should all be kind of sticking together. Because
I know, but that's not the case. Sadly, that's not the case. I've had people tell me, "I hope you become you get pregnant by accident." I'm like, what?
Seriously?
Who
is that? Someone in India?
Yes, someone here, but an Indian.
Oh my God.
But it's like just so sad. I'm like, oh my God, really? I've had people offer me, I'll raise your baby. I'm like, I'm not having no baby. You got to have to raise no one.
I mean, what's going on in their head? Why would they think that would be good for you or a child if you had a baby by accident that you didn't
That's
want?
What I'm saying.
Why on earth? It doesn't
That's
make
my point.
Any sense.
No one has your best interest in mind, in their mind.
No, that's it. You have to really, really stay strong and do not listen to any other voices around you, because they do not know what is best for you. Yeah.
That's why I've made my voice so strong that only my voice is there when I'm talking. Or we are having a conversation, it's me talking. So I know who I should be listening to. You have to be very careful about who you listen to. Who makes an impact on you? You have to choose those people very carefully.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about legacy, Mohita, because you are an atheist. And I'm interested to know, you know, this is something that's thrown at child-free women a lot, that, you know, what's going to be left behind when you're gone. I'm interested to know your thoughts on that.
Legacy, we all leave our legacy in our own ways, yeah? I would want to leave a legacy of people who understand that we as human species are not the best thing that happened to this planet. So we gotta cut ourselves down slowly, slowly. And even if I leave 20 people in my lifetime who understand that, that means that I made an impact. That's my legacy. You don't have to like change the world before you go. And after you go, come on, you have left. Just be gone. Who cares what's happening? So what you believe in, if you are able to convince a few people in your lifetime, that fine, you should do it this way because this is the right thing to do. I think that's legacy enough for anyone because not everyone gets to do that.
I love it, Mohita. I love it. Yeah, I'm nodding furiously. I mean, that's it. It's like if you can impact other people's lives in a way that's positive, what an incredible legacy that is. It doesn't have to be a biological legacy. Let's get away from this idea that legacy has to be biological. We can nurture in other ways, whether that's through friendships or our community or our work or our passion or ourselves. You know, there's so many different ways.
It's about leaving an impact on people. It's not about leaving people. You don't need to create your own people and leave them, you know, to be able to, you know, just figure out your own legacy and just keep on going. What are we doing? Rather than thinking about when you're gone, how about you focus on yourself now? Do something for yourself now. And for most people, it's the hardest thing to do. And that's also one of the reasons people have kids, that they don't want anyone else to tell them what else they can do with their lives. I have kids. I'm done. You can't tell me now what to do. That's my whole full-time job. And it's a full-time job. I don't disagree. But you chose it because now you don't want to do anything else. And I'm pissed off at people who haven't figured out their own lives. They don't know what to do. They don't have anything to actually pass on to the kids. They don't have any learnings in life. But they still have kids. So who are the kids, who are they supposed to look up to and learn? You are still figuring out. You're not a model of success yet. So why are you having this kid who will see your struggles and it might not be the best thing for them growing up? So first achieve something. First make something out of yourself. Then have it on. Pass it on if you want to. I don't know if how many percentage of the people, like what percentage of people in the entire world is having kids for the right reasons. I just don't know that. I think 95% or so are having just because, you know, everyone is having them or they were told to do so or they just, it happened.
Yeah, it's interesting that, yeah, no one questions when people have kids, but yet when we don't want kids, then there's the questions. Then it's the why. What's wrong with you?
It's at the end of the world. Yeah. It's the end of the world. You are just making God unhappy. Who?
That's it. Oh, yes. Yeah. So then, Mohita, what would you tell any women, you know, who are listening, who, you know, they're feeling that pressure to conform, that they're getting it, whether it's from their friends, their family, their country, you know, what can you tell them to give them some hope?
Well, I would want to tell them that, first of all, you need to think about yourself. That's very important, because if you don't do that, no one else will do it for you. And when you are in that mess, when you have a kid, let's just say that you have a kid, no one is going to come and help you daily basis 24/7. It's all up to you. And if you're confused that, you know, will you be a good mom or not? Will you be able to handle it or not? How about just borrow someone's kid for a full week or a full month? Try it out for yourself. You will see the challenges that come along the way. And it's very important for women in today's generation to actually realize their worth, what you are here for, what you want to do with your life, rather than just having a life and not knowing, or just having that life raising them as confused as even you are. So don't create an army of people who don't know their purpose. or they are just here for procreation. So think about yourself. Just put yourself in the driver's seat of your own life and take your decisions. What's good for you? No one else is going to do that for you.
Mohita, thank you for that. And thank you for such a wonderful conversation.
Thanks, Zoe. Thanks for giving me the platform to talk about it.
We Are Child Free is hosted by me, Zoe Noble, and produced by James Glazebrook. If you liked this episode, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as this really helps other people find us. Head to wearechildfree.com to read more stories from incredible child-free women and find out how to share your story with me. Speak soon, lovelies.